Good morning. Welcome to the first business meeting of Judicial Council in 2011. Welcome to my first Judicial Council meeting as chair. I've had the pleasure of serving you. I've had the pleasure, as many of you have, with serving with former Chief Justice Ron George for the last 2 years on Judicial Council. And speaking of the former chief, I think we all can never overstate the contributions Chief Justice George has made to this branch in the 14 years he served as chief. He really changed the landscape from 1996 to 2010. And he made everlasting changes to make us an independent, stronger, impartial, accessible branch. And all of our conversations and movement here is based on the foundation that Chief George and his predecessors dreamed of with a vision for our branch. So my sincere hope is that we actually live out our potential as an institution, as an independent third branch. I'd also want to talk to you first, before I get into my report, that it seems fitting that we have our first business meeting here in Sacramento, here in the Capitol, not just because it's my hometown, but because I believe, as you have all experienced in the last several days, speaking with our legislative representatives at the legislature, that it's critical now more than ever to be able to convey to them the role of the courts, the need of the courts, because that makes our relationship with them stronger to better understand our needs. And those needs are not solely budgetary. They're across the board. And it's going to be, as we know, an ongoing discussion that we're going to have with the legislature every year. And I really thank you for your efforts thus far.
You. Can't phone a friend. But
well, that reminds me. That puts me in the mind of remember to turn off your cell phones and electronic devices. And between Bill and I, we're going to figure out what that is and who it belongs to, because it does interfere with the audio cast, and it may interfere with the audio cast. I also want to let you know, as you already know, that to ensure public access and decrease better understanding of the business of the branch, our meetings are public and they are recorded, audio cast live with real-time captioning, and it's placed on the California Court's website and routinely videotaped for a later broadcast on California Court News, CCN, and you're familiar with that. And also you might like to know that for some of our past meetings we've had more than 350 live online visitors and hundreds more who've looked at the tape afterward. So I remind council members in this vein to address each other by name, to identify yourselves on the record, and to proceed in that fashion and to speak into the microphone. We also today, as you've seen on our agenda, we have several presenters and several guests. And I don't see all of them here. They'll probably come later, but I'd like to indicate for the record here that we do welcome my former APJ, who's now retired, the former APJ of the Court of Appeal, Third Appellate District, Justice Arthur Scotland. We also have here Associate Justice Terrence Braniers, Court of Appeal, First Appellate District, Superior Court of California. He's also going to be talking to us about CCMS later. We also have Superior Court Judge Glenn, there he is, Reeser, who's going to help us with our demonstration for CCMS. Thank you for being here, and thank you for volunteering your time to show us this valuable demonstration. We also will have, I understand, two members of the Sacramento Superior Court visiting, and that is Administrative Presiding Judge Lori Earle, who's been here before, serves on some work for the council, as well as Judge Stacy Bulwer-Urey, who is the supervising judge of juvenile court here in Sacramento. You may see them later. And I believe, but do not see, but maybe will come in later, a group of judicial administration fellows from our program. As you know, we partner with California Studies at California State University in Sacramento, and we provide career training for future court leaders in the fellowship program. So we're going to welcome them. They'll be observing, I believe, one of their first Judicial Council meetings. So the first item on our agenda this morning is the swearing in and the welcoming of new Judicial Council members. So please join me in welcoming Associate Justice Harry J. Hull, Jr., Court of Appeal, Third Appellate District, and also Commissioner Sue Alexander, Superior Court of California, County of Alameda. Good morning. Welcome. you know, every year about a third of council membership rotates off, new group rotates in. This involves continuity, allows new leaders to get involved in judicial council, still allowing us to retain some institutional memory of the important issues that council faces every year. So in case of off-schedule appointments, which are Justice Hull and Commissioner Alexander's, Justice Hull fills the vacancy created by my appointment as chief, and Sue Alexander's appointment comes to fill the vacancy of Lon Hurwitz, who was elevated by election to the Superior Court, Orange County. So I'd like to ask Justice Hull and Commissioner Alexander to please stand, and you will find booklets containing your oath of office, I believe, at your places, and if you don't have that, I'll get that to you. But I have the oath, which I'm about to administer, and I ask you to please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I do solemnly swear or affirm.
I do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support and defend.
I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California. Against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That I will bear true faith and allegiance. To the Constitution of the United States. And the Constitution of the State of California. That I take this obligation freely. Without any mental reservation. Or purpose of evasion. And that I will well and faithfully. Discharge the duties upon which I'm about to enter. Congratulations. Please do sign the booklet and retain it as a memento, as a reminder of the oath and the service you've pledged to the Judicial Council in the State of California. And I believe this morning we have not received any requests for public comment. And so at this point in the meeting, it's traditional to move forward for the approval of minutes from our December 14 meeting. Are there any corrections to the minutes? Do I hear a motion after review of our December 14, 2010 meeting to approve and pass?
I will move approval, please.
Thank you. Second. So I have Justice Huffman moving and Justice O'Malley seconding. All in favor, vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes pass. Next in our schedule, we have Judicial Council committee presentations. These are reports from our internal committees, and I ask to start with Justice Huffman.
Thank you, Chief Justice. It's been a busy time. The Executive Committee has met seven times since it's the December 14th Council meeting. We had five telephone conferences, one we resolved by email, and then we had an in-person meeting here earlier in San Francisco earlier this week. On December 17th, shortly after the council meeting, the administrative director brought several things to the attention of the executive committee acting on behalf of the council under Rule 10.11A of the Rules of Court. The first had to do with the Long Beach Courthouse and the questions having to do with the financial closure of the financing deal. If you've not listened to any of these discussions about international interest rates and all of that, I'm not sure I understood it anyway, but it was a fascinating moving target that the AOC needed to get this thing closed by a particular time, because if the interest rates have a hiccup and goes up, millions of dollars would be consumed in the financing. So having reviewed that, and the Department of Finance in late December issued an approval letter for the Long Beach Courthouse, and we reviewed that. We reviewed the financial issues and the course of action that we supported by the administrative director and our assistant presiding judge of the Superior Court. We approved the financial closure under the terms of, at the interest rates that were then being discussed, and we did give the administrative director discretion to close at a slightly higher rate if that's what happened, and it was still in the best financial interest of the branch, and the deal ultimately did close. We also took up with the administrative director the request that we approve on behalf of the council a revised CCMS governance model that you'll be hearing more about, but in short, it's a new governance system. As I understand it, involves judges from 29 different counties at different levels participating in this new process. And after reviewing it, the committee acted on behalf of the council and approved the governance model and reaffirmed the administrative director's authority to proceed with the CCMS final testing and to do the work necessary for full deployment if and when finances are made available. And the new governance model is attached to your materials. On December 22nd, we took up the issue on behalf of Orange County, again for the new members and for the public, under the policies of the Judicial Council, the process of converting open subordinate judicial officer positions to judgeships under the authorizing statute has been delegated to Executive and Planning Committee. It's become so popular now we've filled the 10-11 quota well before July 1st, and we are now working our way to filling the numbers for 11-12. And so we approved the conversion of two vacant subordinate judicial officer positions for Orange County effective July 1st of 2011 or the date at which the legislature enacts the authorizing legislation to ratify the authority to make those conversions. The conversion of one of the positions is contingent upon the Judicial Council today approving the adjustment of the allocation of SJO positions around the state in order for Orange County to actually convert all the positions it needs to over the 10-year period. They have to have an added position, and so in your binder in the consent agenda is the matter for the council, if it chooses to approve the reallocation, and that will allow Orange County to convert two of its SJOs to Superior Court judgeships. There's also the potential of a third position. Orange County is interested in taking advantage of the new statute, AB 2763, which allows additional SJO positions to be converted to judgeships, provided that those positions are going to be used in family law or juvenile courts, and you have that in your binder as well, and we prove that subject to the legislature enacting the necessary materials to allow that to go forward. They haven't yet done that. We also, as we usually do, authorized Orange County to hire retired commissioners to fill those positions pending replacement by a Superior Court judge. As you've seen, we have new council members. It's the role of the executive committee to solicit and review applications and make recommendations to the Chief Justice for those positions, and we did, and the Chief has appointed the new members that have just been sworn in. February 1st, we met again by telephone and began the process of trying to set the agenda for this meeting, and we also reviewed with the staff the plans for the legislative visits here that have gone on this week. We also planned for the annual agenda review with the council's advisory committees, and again for the public and for new members, the council each year meets, the rules committee and the executive committee each meet with the advisory committees that are assigned to those internal committees to review their annual agendas, to see that the advisory committees are working in connection with the council's operational plan, that we have the opportunity to perhaps give them ideas and hear from them. And it's so it takes some time, and we did that planning. And we also made recommendations to the chief to fill an out-of-cycle nomination for the Court Interpreters Advisory Committee. On February 7th, we continued with the agenda setting. If you looked at the original agenda now, it's entirely different. We had some education items from CEJR that we were going to put on, but we've moved them over till April so that the council would have nothing other than the CCMS issues to discuss today, other than the two brief items. On the 10th, again, we continued on with that process. On the 15th, we still continued trying to work through this agenda, did another out-of-cycle nomination for appointment to the Appellate Court Advisory Committee, or the Appellate Advisory Committee, and we did forward that nomination on to the Chief Justice. And then on the 22nd, we did have a day-long session with the new advisory chairs and with each of the advisory committees that were subject to the Judicial Council, to the Executive Committee's oversight. So that's the report of the Executive Committee, Chief Justice.
Thank you, Justice Huffman. We'll now hear from Justice Baxter for the Policy Coordination Liaison Committee.
Thank you, Chief. First of all, in January of each year, it's customary for a memo to be sent out by the Policy Committee under my signature to all of the advisory committees within the Judicial Council, urging those committees to focus on prospective Judicial Council-sponsored legislation. And that urging is branch-wide. I urge each and every one of you to give some consideration to areas where perhaps through your own experience you conclude that a legislative change is appropriate, and to communicate your thoughts to the Office of Governmental Affairs so that the process can begin in terms of having the idea forwarded to the appropriate advisory committee and vetted there and working its way through ultimately to the policy committee and to the Judicial Council. As far as our meetings are concerned, we've had two meetings this year. At the January 26th meeting, the policy committee took a support position on one bill relating to the prohibition of electronic communications by jurors, and also recommended for sponsorship a legislative proposal regarding the judge's retirement system 2 credit and pre-retirement death benefits. The proposal for council-sponsored legislation is item C on today's consent agenda. And at our second meeting on February 16th, a budget status update was presented. The legislative deadline to introduce bills was February 18th, and in total more than 2,400 bills, constitutional amendments, and resolutions were introduced for the start of this 2011-12 session. The majority of the bills were introduced on the last day before the deadline, and the Office of Governmental Affairs, the staff, is reviewing all of those bills to identify those of particular interest to the judicial branch. So in future reports, I'll make every effort to keep you informed of the progress of the bills that we identify as of interest to our branch. The Bench Bar Coalition's Day in Sacramento was held on two separate days this year, February 1st and February 15th, and will also be conducted on March 1st and 2nd. This multi-day approach proved to be successful last year and has been equally successful with the two meetings already held. Bench and bar leaders and court executive officers were able to meet with legislators on issues pertinent to the proposed 2011-12 judicial branch budget, new judgeships, California case management, and access to justice issues. In addition to that, the Office of Governmental Affairs is in the process of scheduling with our justice partners meetings with the Chief Justice and other representatives of the council during the course of this year, and that's in progress. I think three or four of those meetings have already been scheduled. That completes my report, Chief.
Thank you, Justice Baxter. Any questions I've neglected to ask of either Justice Huffman or Justice Baxter? Thank you. We'll now hear from Justice Doug Miller from the Rules and Projects Committee.
Thank you. The Rules and Projects Committee has met four times since the December 14th Judicial Council meeting, once in person, twice by phone, and once by email. We met by phone on January 24th to consider a proposal from the Traffic Advisory Committee to amend a rule to circulate for public comment on a special cycle. RuPro approved the circulation. Following public circulation and further review by the Traffic Advisory Committee and RuPro, this proposal is expected to come back before the Judicial Council at our meeting in April. RuPro also met by email on February 7th, where we communicated by email to approve a circulating order proposing revisions to amend two Judicial Council fee waiver forms to incorporate the 2011 increases in the federal poverty guidelines. The Judicial Council approved the amended forms by circulating order, and special notice has been given to the courts regarding these amended forms. We also met again by phone on February 14th for a briefing to prepare for our meeting to review the annual agendas of the various advisory groups and task force that are overseen by RuPro. And then we met in person for the entire day on February 22nd to review these annual agendas and the updates from 12 advisory committees and task forces. We discussed the work with each of their judicial chairs and principal staff. I want to tell you, they were very productive. It was very rewarding to see the hard work that they are performing and really their commitment to doing things that benefit the judicial branch in their particular area. We did have some suggestions, and those were incorporated within the annual agendas, and RuPro approved those. And that's our report. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Justice Miller. Any questions on RuPro's activities? Thank you. It's customary at this time for the Chief to deliver her report, and I want to share with you that the last 8 weeks have been extraordinary in many ways, so I'll just share the highlights with you. And that is, as you know, my second day on, I believe, Justice Moreno announced his retirement from the California Supreme Court, telling us that he had new beginning-itis and over the holidays had decided to enter private life. And I want to mention on this record that we are grateful to Justice Moreno for his 24 years of judicial service on the federal and state benches serving all of California, and that we wish him well and hope that we will be able to invite him back to thank him personally for his remarkable work with the Blue Ribbon Commission on Children in Foster Care. I've also had the opportunity to meet with Governor Brown and talk to him about the needs of the branch and the vision of the branch and really some history of the branch, especially in terms of the sustainment of budget cuts throughout the years. I thought that was a very positive discussion and a willingness to work and keep an open line of communication, not only on matters affecting the branch as it pertains to budget and its future, but also as to the vacancy that he will fill with Justice Moreno's leaving the court. I've also had meetings in Sacramento with dozens and dozens of legislators, talking to them about the branch and the branch needs and our stepping up regarding the $200 million budget cut. And our message has been simple, and that is keep the courts open. Let us tell you where we can take the reduction, doing the least amount of harm to the branch. And we've received open ears, and I think the legislature has been very supportive about knowing what our priority is and our need to keep the courts open, and that we continue to work in that regard. As you know, the governor's proposal was the first step in a process that normally takes months. But we, the new normal, are doing that in a matter of a couple of weeks, and so we've been working around the clock. I want to say that we have been greatly assisted in our efforts to meet the $200 million reduction with the ad hoc trial court judges and executive officers and justices who have come forward to help us find a proposal that will give us a solution with the least amount of harm. We've met twice. It's been very helpful, very useful to open those lines of communication. I know many of you here are part of that ad hoc budget working group, and I extend my deep appreciation for your ability to come on short notice and your ability to stay and really zone in on where the solutions lie for the branch. I would also point out in that regard, as you know, that our team of Kurt, Ron, Bill, Stephen have been working around the clock at the Capitol, providing the legislators and Department of Finance the information they need to make the difficult decisions they are facing every day as well. Also, I want to mention that for our meeting today, I directed staff to allow adequate time on our agenda for the discussion of the newly published cost-benefit analysis of CCMS. I want council to receive a detailed update on that report and a demonstration of how the system works, because it is almost near completion. And I also want to say, as I have said repeatedly to the media, that I think I'm aware and I thank the Bureau of State Audits for its intensive historical review of CCMS, and I take its report and its findings seriously. And we accept and look to working with the legislature in this important visionary project that's not only visionary for the branch, but visionary for California. And so we have a new leadership governance structure in place. You'll be hearing more about that. And I hope that we can engage in a robust conversation about that, because that is the transition where the Judicial Council and judges will be taking over ownership control of CCMS. I know that Justice Breniers is here, who will be leading us in that discussion. Thank you, Justice Breniers. I also want to just tell you a little bit about what I've been doing in the past 8 weeks in terms of trying to get around the state to meet bar associations and to meet bar leaders and judges and courts. So you know, and I've seen many of you at the regional meetings, the three regions I visited. First, Bancro, the Bay Area region, then visited the Southern California region, and then lastly, the Northern Central region. And I think we engaged in frank discussions about the status of the branch and the status of major initiatives like CCMS and like our budget. And I hope to continue to have those kinds of discussions with the branch, because I think more and more we need to share information. And maybe in the past, it's been misunderstood that we haven't been so good at sharing information. I've also had the opportunity to introduce myself to different bar associations in the legal community, and I'll mention a few. I spoke to and had the pleasure of sitting on a panel with Chief Judge Alex Kaczynski at the William Ingram Inn of Court in Santa Clara. I see people here who were there in support of the civility, collegiality, professionalism, and ethics of the bench. That was a lively conversation that we had, and I believe it's now on C-SPAN. It was also moderated by Professor Ullman. I think it couldn't have been a more timely discussion, quite frankly, of what we need in the branch and really in government, period. Thereafter, shortly, I had an opportunity to give brief remarks at the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights in San Francisco at their luncheon. I also then thereafter went to Washington, D.C. for several days and met with the Conference of Chief Judges, which is a conference of a chief judge from every state and territory, where we get together and talk about the impact of federal law and federal mandates and trends that are occurring in the nation, California is always a leader. They always want to know what's happening in California because we have the finest bench, the finest legal community, and we are always pushing the envelope. And so you should know that your efforts here are respected nationwide. I also had the opportunity and the pleasure to travel down to Los Angeles. I see many of you here also at the Trailblazers Bar, Trailblazers Award Ceremony for our dear friend and former Judicial Council colleague, now presiding judge of the Los Angeles Superior Court. That is Lee Smalley Edmond. And also David Wesley, APJ, was also there, as many of you were, where we were able to celebrate what is a historic moment in the history of jurisprudence in California and Los Angeles to have Lee Smalley Edmond leading the Los Angeles Superior Court. We wish her well and support, and we know based on her contributions as a judicial council member that Los Angeles is in great hands. I also had an opportunity to attend the Alameda Contra Costa Bar Association dinner, where I met with many Bay Area judges, leaders, volunteers. That was very gratifying. Also had an opportunity to attend my investiture celebration where 900 of my closest friends were present, where we had a good time and mostly an opportunity to really reconnect and try to galvanize Northern California to step up and start to volunteer for many of the important advisory committees. I was recently at the Marin County Bar Association luncheon where I previously had met with the Marin County judges with Kim Turner and spoke to about over 200 judges and lawyers about the evolution of the branch and came up after with many people telling me that they had no idea that the branch had undergone such a transformation in 15 years and how grateful they were to hear about the history of the branch, which makes their reading the trade papers more contextual once they know the history of the branch and where we are today. I've also met with various school groups doing our grassroots outreach to teach children about the importance of civics education and the judicial branch. So, of course, I've made my annual trip to Sutter Middle School, where I think I must have been now 9 times. I feel like I'm entitled to a degree from middle school. And also, I had an opportunity to speak to the entire class of 1Ls at UC Davis to talk to them about the great future they have in this wonderful branch. And I think on Monday I'm going to have my first opportunity to participate in a groundbreaking construction project in Hollister, one of our greatest initiatives to move the branch forward to build safe buildings for the public and for our judges. I'm also working in novel ways to communicate and to achieve outreach with the public. And so you may be seeing more video. I know I said to folks, I would rather hear a video than read another single-spaced memo. So we're trying to use more video to reach and communicate within the branch. And I urge you that if you feel there's something branch-wide that you would like to communicate, to let me know so that we can use our video center to provide that kind of information to the branch as a whole. The tool works well. I also want to announce that I believe on Monday we'll be launching the next generation of the branch website, California Court site. It includes easier navigation, several new features that will help educate, engage, and inform and serve the public, and we hope it's much user-friendly to anyone. I encourage you to get on it and to give it a try. And I believe that concludes my report at this point. Thank you, and we'll ask Bill to deliver the Administrative Director's Report.
Good morning. Thank you,
Chief Justice. You have a copy of my written report, which I'll just submit on the record and respond to any questions you may have. And so I just have two issues that I specifically want to raise. One is, I think you're aware, that as Justice Huffman indicated, that the Executive Committee approved and authorized changing the governance oversight of the CCMS project. That was something that had been recommended by Sheila, who has been the executive sponsor of that program during the development phase, and recommended a change that was supported by the previous oversight committee, the presiding judges from the specific courts that had been involved in the development of the CCMS product. And they all supported the idea of changing to a committee that would have terms for the life of the individual serving on it, basically, so that we would have continuity to guide us through the very challenging part of the completing of the testing and the acceptance of the product and the deployment, which will be a very complex issue. And so that committee comprised, as indicated, of primarily judges, court executives on each of the three advisory committees to the executive committee that will provide input, as well as justice system partners in that process. And the executive committee will be responsible for prioritizing activities, providing the general charge to the new project management office, which brings together staff in the AOC under the leadership of Mark Moore, who you'll be hearing from later today, will be responsible for carrying out the directions based on the decisions of the Executive Oversight Committee that we have put in place in that area. And they will be responsible for seeing that as we move ahead, that we fully comply with all of the audit recommendations, both from the Bureau of State Audits as well as the previous review done by the state's chief information officer in the process. The number one issue, obviously, that we all have been working on is a budget resolution for fiscal year 11 and 12. And as you know, the Chief Justice in January assembled a committee of judicial branch leaders, including representatives from the council, presiding judges, the administrative presiding justices, the leadership of CJA, bar representatives, and others, court executives, to provide guidance on alternative concepts for addressing the budget issues. And that committee met early in January, met again in February to arrive at a consensus on how we might approach this, and working with the legislature and the governor's office on a solution. And we think we're close to having a solution that will achieve the objectives, as the Chief Justice has stated, of seeing that the trial courts have adequate funding, basically funding consistent with the level of this year, to remain open next year in the process. That solution also obviously involves reductions for the Supreme Courts, the Court of Appeal, and the Administrative Office of the Courts. And while we are trying to offset the large portion of the reductions for the trial courts, we have not presented proposals to do that for the Supreme Court, the Courts of Appeal, or the Administrative Office of the Courts. So in the Administrative Office of the Courts, the directors this last week received direction to review the general fund allocations in their budgets with some detailed information provided by our finance department for them to review. They've been asked to respond by providing three scenarios for making reductions at the level of 5, 8, and 12%, and to explain how they would make those reductions and to provide an analysis of what the impacts would be so that we can meet and ultimately propose a reduction plan to make a permanent reduction in the budget, as we did last year, of the AOC. And on some of these issues, we'll be seeking input from the trial courts and the appellate courts in terms of their view about the priorities of some of the issues that will be considered in that reduction plan. And by our April meeting, we'll be reporting back to you, if not earlier, and by written communication as part of the process, so that we are ready on July 1 to operate and live within the budget that we have for the next year. So those are the two issues I wanted to raise. And again, if you have any questions, you can feel free to call me or raise them now if you want, or otherwise call me or email me about anything in the report that you have. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions on this report? Thank you. Next on our agenda are the consent items. As you can see, items A through D, and I don't believe any of the consent items have been asked by any person present or absent for removal to be placed on the discussion agenda. So I'm getting an affirmative nod. Thank you. And so at this time, regarding consent items A through D, I'll give you a moment to look those over. I'll be calling for a motion for approval and a second and a vote thereafter. Do I hear a motion to pass consent items A through D?
So moved.
Second.
Justice O'Malley moved, and Judge O'Malley moved, and
Pines.
Judge Pines seconded. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Matters passed.